I'm Dean Wilson. I'm so glad you're with us wherever you are. If you're joining us on the airwaves here in Santa Barbara, California at TVSB, we welcome you. And so many of you are joining us all around the world at all these other platforms, goodlifetelevision.org. And there's a YouTube channel you can subscribe to. All the long form interviews are on that YouTube channel and at goodlifetelevision.org. And then we break them up into what we call power clips, and those power clips are also at the YouTube channel. You can follow us on all the different social media platforms, and then there's a podcast. So you can search any podcast platform, search Good Life Conversations, and you can find us there. And those interviews are, there's new interviews posted every week. And so we know some people are podcast people, so we encourage you to find us there. We're brought to you, as always, by Bunnin Chevrolet. We're grateful for our friends there and so grateful for you. You're the reason we're doing this. And we're so grateful to bring you great stories and great people and great inspiration and encouragement from all walks of life. It's been an amazing journey we've been on here for the last several years as we've got to meet so many great people. And it's just amazing. It's amazing when you dig a little deeper. And I think sometimes in our lives, as we go about our life and work and business, and you know, we kind of just pass each other by. But when you actually are able to get to know people and who they are, who they were made to be, and their best self, it's just so encouraging. And so we really do need each other, and it's a powerful thing. So we're grateful you're here, and I'm really grateful and excited for my guest. Nitini Paris is with me. Did I say it right?
Yes,
we worked on this before we came on.
Perfectly.
Okay, Nitini. and so you're originally from Pennsylvania. We're going to get into kind of everything you've done and what you're doing, and it's really exciting in terms of the career you've had. But take us back kind of before that. You're raised in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Take us back to kind of your family, your upbringing, kind of where you came from.
Well, I was born in Reading, Pennsylvania, which is where the Reading Railroad is from. I lived in the city part of my life. And in the country, the rest of it. But my earliest memories are growing up in a multicultural neighborhood. And it was really kind of a special place for me, and I think influenced me musically, because literally in my backyard, there was one of the oldest African American churches. That was actually part of the Underground Railroad, I found out later.
Oh, wow.
And across the street was a Puerto Rican church. And so I could sit in my room at night. They would have these beautiful singing concerts in these churches. And I could sit in my window at night with the window open and hear the music coming from these two different, very different styles of music in very different churches. Our church, because of segregation, was several blocks away that we went to when I was a little girl. So that really influenced me and actually really, I think, gave me a foundation for the way I feel about diversity now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we really kind of firsthand saw the struggles between different ethnic groups.
Yeah, talk about that for a second. Yeah. The seed, I guess, maybe that planted in your heart in terms of what you believe and what you think is important now.
Well, I remember it was a time when everybody was always talking about acceptance and togetherness and everybody's equal and we're all the same. But then I saw firsthand that nobody was really acting that way. So I felt like it was really confusing to me too. You know, I had a lot of questions. I remember asking my mom so many questions because there was actually a cross burned in the church in our backyard, and I didn't understand that, and I wanted to understand why we were told that everybody was equal and we should love each other. And our black friends weren't even allowed to come into our house, and we weren't allowed to go into their house. You know, it was like that. This is, you know, the 70s, so it was a time, you know. But I feel like it really affected me. I have a deep passion for diversity and inclusion, and it's something that I've always lived with. And, you know, I feel a real affinity with people who have had to deal with different kinds of oppression. I don't know where that comes from. It's something in my soul that's always been there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's so powerful. Yeah, it's an amazing thing with diversity. Diversity, to me, is something that God created. You know, there's a reason that there's, you know, so we are different in one sense, but we're the same. And diversity is beautiful. Mm. I mean, if you think about it, like, I don't know. I heard this the other day. Maybe I'm getting the number wrong now, but I think there's like 6,000 different kinds of beetles. Like, I heard that. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm watching butterflies over here. Like, how many different kinds of butterflies? Like, God is a God of diversity. I mean, if you just look at creation. Mm-hmm. And so it must be beautiful. It must be good. You know, that's kind of how I see it. And so when we can step into that as a beautiful thing, difference is not bad, I guess, is what mm-hmm. I'm trying to say. Difference is good.
Right.
You know, and together we make something really great. I mean, right?
Yes, yes, I agree. And we're stronger because of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how, as humans, I think we can sometimes, and of course, I think there's something in our culture and in the media that points us to want to fight, or they, for some reason, they want us to fight because we're different. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the fact that, I love when two friends who think completely different about politics can get together around a table and laugh and be friends and love each other. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. Definitely.
What would that mean? You know, like, isn't that a life-transforming thought? Yeah. And that's, so it's not like you got to be like me or I got to be like you. It's, let's love each other.
Yeah.
Fine, you're okay, we disagree, I don't care. You know, that's kind of a, it's kind of like a different level of, I think, viewing it versus kind of the human experience, which is, well, he's not like me, he must be bad, or he must not like me, or, you know, we distance, I guess. But that's such a bummer.
Yeah, it's so true.
You know what's interesting is what the thing you're involved in, music, is a great unifying force, isn't it?
Yes.
Everybody loves music. That's one thing we can agree on. Yeah. Were you always musical? Were you always interested in it from an early age, songwriting, all that?
Well, I started writing songs informally when I was a kid, but I never thought of myself as a songwriter. My dad played guitar and sang a lot, so there was a lot of that music around the house. But I never had, it was never possible for me to take lessons, even though I really wanted to. And I came from a family of a very strong work ethic, so work, and really less enjoyment of life and more work, and I was kind of like raised that way. So I never even thought of myself as creative. I started, as soon as I was old enough, I started working multiple jobs, worked my way through college, even UCLA. I was a full-time student at UCLA while working a full-time management job at Delta Airlines. And so I was always working and working, and I never even thought I was creative, even when I was writing songs and poetry. And then one day I left my job my last corporate job was at Bank of America. I was doing change management and communications in this finance and technology division. Mm. So far away from music. And I would go into meetings and with my boss, who's my very good friend now, and I'd say, check out this song I just wrote, you know, and show her that during the meeting. And so when it came time for me to make a decision about leaving the company, I went back to UCLA and studied songwriting for the first time. And that's when it hit me. I've been very creative my whole life. I've been writing songs my whole life. I took a class with the famous lyricist Marty Panzer at UCLA. His class was called Writing Lyrics That Succeed and Endure. And he wrote several big songs like Even Now and Through the Years. Mm-hmm. And I got a scholarship, the Hal Gaba Scholarship for Excellence in Songwriting, through that class. And then I just never looked back. So that's kind of how it all started for me. And I never had any musical training, so I knew I was coming in without that. I had to learn how to write songs without an instrument in the beginning. Of course, now I get to work with some amazing, very talented musicians and singers, so it's not an issue at all, but I had to do it that way.
Wow. Marty Panzer?
Yes.
Is Through the Years, like the Kenny Rogers one?
Yes.
Oh.
He wrote that with Steve Dorff, who's the award-winning composer, a Songwriters Hall of Fame composer.
To some of those songs, it's amazing how songs can stand the test of time.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the brilliance of that is amazing to me. So you worked with, I read the list of people you've worked with. You've worked with a ton of incredible people.
Yes, I've been honored and blessed to work with some really amazingly talented people. And, you know, it's been, I got the opportunity to write with Steve Dorff. I'm working with his daughter right now.
Oh, really?
She's just finished, graduated from Belmont with a degree in songwriting. And we're working together on a few things. And, yeah. And Marty, of course, was my first mentor. I owe a lot to him.
Wow. So yeah, so take us. So UCLA is, you finished there in, what was the major?
It was anthropology. Sociocultural anthropology was my main focus. Yeah.
So tell me this, because the songwriting world is new to me. Does it help to have kind of a diverse background, education, life experience, reading, be well-read? Yeah. I mean, does all that play into being a great songwriter?
Absolutely. Definitely. I think reading, first of all, I think reading is one of the most important things you can do for, not just for songwriting, but for everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's so valuable in so many ways. But I think the more life experience you have, the better. You know, a lot of times I'm writing with young artists, and their main subject they want to write about is love songs and breakup songs.
Right.
But, you know, I think that it's more, the more interesting thing is when you've led a full life or when you've had multiple experiences and even hardship, you know, especially I think sometimes hardship, it really helps you to kind of really feel the music more, and there's more passion.
Yeah.
And I think it can lead to more depth in writing. So I think it's very important.
Yeah, country music, I love country music, but it's all, it can kind of be about, you know, the guy's wife left and the dog left. And I saw something the other day, and that was self-driving cars. It's just a matter of time before his car leaves him, too. I said, well, that could be the next country song. My car
that's
even
funny,
left me.
I love that.
But there is a great power with you know, music, which again, I believe is a God-given gift. I mean, you're in your home and Pennsylvania, Reading, Pennsylvania, growing up, and you're hearing the music from the African American church and the Puerto Rican, like that left a mark.
Definitely.
Even. I mean, isn't that, and music takes us back.
Yes.
That's another thing. Like it'll take you to a different time and place, which I think is so neat. That must be kind of a fun thing about being in this world.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, you hear a song, even just the first few notes, and it can instantly take you to a place.
Yeah.
And I'll hear songs, and it'll take me back to my childhood, and I'll remember exactly what I was doing and where I was living. And it's amazing the power of song. And also, one other thing I love about music is the way it can, it reflects the culture that it comes from, but it also helps to create it and to influence it, which I think is another powerful thing about music.
Yeah. That's so true. I mean, obviously, hopefully for good. I mean, I think there's examples also of being on the other side of kind of like, you know, this
true
destructive. But so talk about your song, Keep the Light On.
Oh, yes.
Take us back to the origin of that and that process.
I love talking about that song. So I was co-hosting a songwriting retreat at a castle in France, in Mâcon, France. And the very first song we did. It was before the camp even started. I was there, my husband was there, and some of my good friends, and an artist from London. And we sat down right outside of the castle, we decided to let's get things going and write a song to get started. And we used a technique called object writing, which Pat Pattison, who's a songwriting teacher at Berklee College of Music, talks about in his book. And it's basically taking an object, like, for example, this mug, and then writing a song about the mug and different aspects of the mug. Well, we did this with a lantern that was on the table. And so we started thinking about what would we say to the lantern? You know, how would we write a song about the lantern? And it became this song about being like a beacon of light for somebody when they're going through times of trouble and darkness, and you know, being there. And that's how the whole, my husband started playing something on the guitar, and the next thing you know, the whole song came out. And that song went on to win some awards, and we're very proud of our work on that.
It's so amazing. And just real quick, for people who want to find this, how would they find it? Just the shortest way. Yeah.
That is available on all of music platforms. It was released by a band called Seventh and Hope. And they were, that consists of the one of the other writers, Patricia Pahia, and the artist from London, Betty Lawrence. So you can find it under Seventh and Hope on Spotify and Amazon Music.
Seventh and Hope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Keep the light on.
Yes.
What about Sanctuary?
Sanctuary, that was a song that was performed by Hollywood and Mars, which is the band project that my husband is part of. And that, again, is another song. You can see there's a theme with my music. A lot of times I like to write songs about lifting people up and being there. And I feel like that song is very personal to me. When I remember when I was when I was a child, and there were some times that were really difficult in my family, and I always felt, you know, looking back, that I wish I had somebody to kind of reach out and help me, and the way I've had the opportunity to help other people now, and I feel like that song was really inspired by that. I remember that when I was doing a fundraiser, a music fundraiser, right around the time that song was coming out, we were working with Rock Against Trafficking and the Coalition to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking doing a fundraiser. And so the song really has kind of its roots in finding ways to help people who are dealing with troubles like that, you know, maybe people who are being trafficked, and help them, kind of lift them, reach out to them, and see the human side of them, and not just blame them for what they're doing, but to help them out of that. And that song is very, you know, very meaningful to me.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. Yeah, and you've been involved. I mean, I know that you've been involved in various things like that, and events. You had an involvement with events.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that, kind of what in terms of what you do.
Well, I do. I love doing music events, but I also love doing charity events. And one of the things that's kind of been a theme in my life is, even when I was in the corporate world, I always found ways to kind of make it more rewarding to me, because I don't feel like I was ever meant to be in the corporate world. But I would take on all the charity campaigns and lead them, like, you know, muscular dystrophy or United Way or whatever it was. I would be the leader. And so I always felt, ever since I was a little girl, that one day I would do some big charitable endeavor. Like, I would have some major charity that would help seniors and children and puppies. You know, I just wanted to do all of this. And then at a certain point in my life, I realized that I can't keep saying I'm going to do that. I need to find ways to actually do it, even if it can't be on a grand scale. What can I do now? So I thought, well, this is what I can do. I can do music showcases and help raise awareness for charities or raise money for them. So I've been doing those kind of things. I'll do showcases. It helps the artists. So I help a lot of young indie artists, artists of all ages. And then the most recent one I did was a few weeks ago at the Hotel Cafe in Hollywood. And it was with several of my Hawaiian colleagues. And it was the showcase happened just a few days after the Maui fire. So we changed gears quickly and turned it into a fundraiser for Maui. And so,
wow.
And that's where I get the most satisfaction, is when I can actually use my talents to kind of do something, make some kind of difference or small impact.
That's,
you know?
That's so great. And you've also had the same kind of interest in young people in terms of mentoring.
Yes.
And so talk about that part of your life and experience and what drives you to do that.
Well, that's the thing. I always feel like ever since, you know, like I said before, when I was a child, I didn't really have anybody kind of reaching out. It was different times back then, you know, and I know there are a lot of resources for people now, but I always wanted to be able to help. So I did some work with an organization called School on Wheels, where I would do tutoring for children that were living in homeless shelters. And I started doing a songwriters group in Malibu called the Malibu Teen Songwriters Group, where I would work with children that were between 13 and 17 or 18, and helping them to kind of open up their creativity and gain confidence in their creative talents. And I really love doing that. But the main way I get to help young artists now is I have a company called Artist Max, and we help artists. We find artists that have talent, and we help give them all the tools they need to have to successfully launch their career in music. You know, teaching them things like stage presence, overcoming, you know, any kind of stage fright, and vocal techniques, recording techniques, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so that was going to be my next question, is Artist Max.
Yeah.
I know you're a partner in this company, as I was reading, it was talking about that it's artist development and education.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really, and I know you have I think partners or people that are involved in this with you. Ken
Kelly.
Kelly, yeah. So the vision for that is the next generation of artists.
Yes, yes.
And when did that start, and kind of what does it look like on a monthly basis?
Ken started the company, I want to say about 8 years ago.
Okay.
It started off as just being kind of weekend intensive programs for artists. So we'd bring in maybe 40 different artists from around the world, and then bring in world-class mentors in all of those areas, like songwriting and the music business. We'd bring in an entertainment attorney, vocal coaches, choreographers, and just kind of teach them those basics so they could walk away feeling inspired, and there's this whole big sense of camaraderie that happens there. Mm-hmm. And they do a showcase at the end, and that's how it all started. But then Ken really wanted to find a way to kind of expand that and have maybe a brick and mortar kind of place where people can come and continue their education and potentially do some recording and help to launch their careers. And that's where I came in. I had done taught a songwriting workshop at one of those weekend events for Ken, and we knew each other from a music conference. And so he asked me to be his partner in this artist max that was starting in Westlake Village. So since then, we've been in a position to help to bring in artists, to recognize talent, bring them in, and give them some of the tools they need.
And such a great idea.
Yeah.
So it's like a kind of an academy.
Yeah.
For folks who are interested in that or gifted in that area.
Yeah, and I feel like it's also one of the other things that really drew me to it was at that time I'd been working with a lot of young artists in LA, particularly young women that come to LA to make it in the music business, and they really don't have a lot of support here. And I'd heard stories about things where people had taken advantage of them in one way or another, maybe took their money and didn't deliver their songs and all of these different things. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be great to be an advocate and to be able to step in and bring some power so that they have somebody there supporting them and looking out for them. So I've kind of become like a mother to many of them, and
I love that. Yeah, and you, when you talk about life, I mean, you talk about camaraderie, the importance of, you talk about partnership, and then you said it's so important that we all help each other.
Yes.
Which I think is a profound, simple but really, really profound comment. In today's world, I mean, and just kind of for young people who are coming up now, Talk about those points for a minute in terms of how you see life.
Yeah, well, I believe the most important thing, not just artists, but people in general, I always say to artists, the most important thing you can do is build your craft and build your community. But I think it's really true for everything. I mean, really building community is the most important thing. You really need to work on relationships above everything else. And and part of that is gaining the trust of other people, being a good person. And I think the biggest advice I ever received was from hit writer Alan Shamlin, who said, and he was doing a lecture at a conference, and he wrote I Can't Make You Love Me and The House That Built Me and a lot of other hit songs.
It's a great country song.
Yeah, it's one of the best. And he said the most important advice I can give to anybody starting out in this business is be kind. That was it, and that was it. And that was the most profound thing. And I thought, well, here's somebody who's had all the success, and the most important thing he can say is be kind.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's really the root of it all, is really kind of being a good person, being the kind of person that people can trust and count on. And this goes no matter what level you are in the industry, you really need to be that person. And people need to like you. And I feel like doing that, being a kind, being a supportive friend and colleague goes a long way. And it's really important to recognize when people do help you, to recognize that we don't do this. Nobody does this on our own. We all need the help of others. And I think, just that gratitude and kindness and support and not competition, being supportive of each other. That's the most important thing. And I think that goes across everything, not just for music, but everywhere. I think it's important that we're all here together and there's enough space for everybody. We don't have to compete with each other.
Right.
We should support each other. We lift each other up,
Yeah. So good. Yeah, I think we've kind of lost kindness. Obviously it's a polarized in many respects, situation increasingly, and kindness is just, that's such a good point. Kindness is such an important thing, and it's not, I see kindness as critical. And we do need each other. That's a great statement for anybody in life, your craft and your community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever it is you do, do it well, but you also need people. You need a community of people. I mean, that's, I think that's true whether in music industry or you know, whatever you're doing. I mean, wouldn't you say?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, and community, that's something, I mean, I think, yeah, I always think about this. You know, we were all put here together, you know. Mm-hmm. I think if we were made to be alone, we probably would have been given our own planet. You know, like we're all here.
Yeah.
And so here we are, you know, and it's to learn to, and we're so blessed by community, aren't we? I mean, we're encouraged by community. Yeah. We're held accountable by community. Yeah. We're, you know, inspired by community. There's so many great components to community.
Right.
That we need as humans, you know. It seems like it's not an accident almost.
Yeah.
So, what's the future look like for you? What kind of gets you up in the morning in terms of is it Artist Max vision? Is it or what specifically?
Well, I love the work that we're doing at Artist Max, and you know, Ken is amazing, and I'm going to continue. We're going to continue doing that. We're in a new space now in Westlake, and we're doing music production and artist development, and we're also doing Dolby Atmos mixing now. Ken just did a big project for Warner Music with Joni Mitchell, and remixed several of her albums that have just been released. So we have a lot of that going on. But I'm also doing a new music licensing company, and that's something I've been doing informally for a few years. But now I'm launching this new company, and it's really going to be a way of bringing film and TV and other media placements for artists, because I found over the years as I started pitching my own music for projects that I really love even more pitching other people's music and getting placements for them, because there's nothing like calling somebody up and saying, hey, I've got your song on a show.
Yeah.
And I found that I like that even more. So this company is going to be a way for artists to, a very artist-friendly way for artists to get their music out there and start getting some traction and some credits for their work.
Oh, that's great. And it must be fun for you to, when you hear your music in a show or somewhere.
Yes.
I mean, that must be like really rewarding.
It is. I remember the first time it happened. I got the taste of it and I never looked back, because I just love it. It's like it's a different kind of a way of getting your music out there. Before, it was always just getting it out there with an artist or pitching it and hoping you get a big artist to cut it. But now there's all these other ways to get out there and get some more instant gratification on your music. You know, you get to see somebody using it, and it's very rewarding and very exciting. Every placement is a huge excitement for everyone involved.
So. Oh, that's great. Does Artist Max have a website?
Yes.
What is it? Do you know
it? Artistmax.org.
Artistmax.org.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So check out artistmax.org if you or somebody you know is interested in this world that we've been talking about. It's a great way to get in. So, well, congratulations on all you've done, and it's really great to meet you.
Thank you. It's lovely to meet you. I appreciate you having me here.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.